Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Wings Radio, brought to you by JPH, where God speaks to His people in these end times. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now, here's your host, Glenda Linkos.
Hello, believers. Welcome to this week's edition of Wings Radio, brought to you by JPH Ministries. This week, we're going to be talking about thorns in our side. Some of us have had more than a little bit of experience with thorns in our side. You know who you are, and there really are all kinds of thorns, aren't there? Children, they really are precious, and I really do love them. But the simple truth is, I have a hard time being around them for any extended period of time, which for me is anything over about 3 minutes. I'm not sure what it is, why that is. Maybe it's the long running around making loud noise that I just don't have an affinity for. Or maybe it's just that with age, I have less and less patience with them. Whichever one it is, I have apologized to God again and again and asked for forgiveness. His response? I now live in a neighborhood full of children, and I do mean full. So full that for about 10 houses in either direction, ours is the only one with no children. And as if that weren't enough, it's not only the neighborhood full of children, but our yard. Children love to play with our two small rescue dogs. This isn't Glenda and Jerry's house. The kids actually call our house Bambi and Simba's house. This past summer, there was hardly a single quiet day in Bambi and Simba's yard, and walking them wasn't any quieter, easier, or better. Barely a couple of houses down the street, and I would have a small, very noisy group of children walking me. So I tried changing my walking time to really early in the morning, when the sun is just peeking over the horizon. And so the last time I did this, there I am, walking the dogs really early, and I noticed as I walked past, one of the garage doors was up halfway up on one of the houses, which most people in our neighborhood use the garages for storage, so they leave their garages halfway open. And from beneath it, out comes running this 4-year-old little girl named Joshi, wanting to walk with Bambi and Simba. She's in her pajamas and barefoot, no less. Whoever said the Lord doesn't have a sense of humor? Well, I'm not sure who said it, but at this point I was feeling Anne saying it myself and thinking that these children were fast becoming a thorn in my side. All I wanted was a quiet walk. Lord, please give me strength and quiet days. I think that, you know, years of abuse and a childhood filled with strife and hearing my parents fight all the time led to that. It seems to instill in a person a deep longing for peace and quiet. You've heard it said, maybe even said it yourself, and certainly at some point felt it, a thorn in your side. Sometimes we call them pain in the necks, and sometimes that statement begins with, you are, yeah. No sooner than I felt and said it, I thought about a thorn in someone else's side. Actually a thorn in his flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul tells us, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. And Paul then goes on to say, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. But we'll come back to that in just a minute. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh. The thorn in Paul's side, the thorn in his flesh, it wasn't of any bush. If it were, it would have been about the size of an elephant tusk. Paul's thorns were the trials, troubles, and sufferings of the body and soul. His thorn was weakness and want of strength. Insults, reproach, hurt, and harm. There were necessities and distress. His thorn was persecution and anguish. Going back to 2 Corinthians 12:7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should become exalted above measure." And Paul did have a lot of revelation. A lot. He just knew God. He was so plugged into God. It would be easy to get exalted above measure for someone like Paul, wouldn't it? But God didn't want Paul to exalt himself by the abundance of revelation. So there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn came through the messenger of Satan. And it was all the trials and troubles Paul suffered. But it was only because God permitted it to keep Paul humble. Because God knew that in being that plugged in, there was a danger of pride. Did you catch the most important part of that statement? It was only because God permitted it. That thorn was given to him. 2 Corinthians 12:8 and 9, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul went repeatedly to God and said, "Okay, Lord, I've had enough. I don't want this thorn anymore. Please go ahead and take it back." But when God answered him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," this was God assuring Paul that the messenger of Satan and that thorn in his flesh was his will. His will. Speaking to a man right now who's listening, the Lord says that you have been beseeching him to take away something that bothers you, even torments you sometimes, that you struggle with. I don't know if it's a bad habit or what it is. I think it may be a bad habit. And the Lord said, this applies to you. This is a word for you, sir. So the Lord was telling Paul that grace would be given and it would be enough to suffer any and all suffering that that thorn could bring. It was with that messenger and by that thorn in Paul's flesh that God wanted Paul to depend wholly upon his power, upon God's power. Going back to the second part of 2 Corinthians 12:9, "Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We see that Paul had gotten the message. He learned, by and because of the thorn of his flesh, to depend wholly upon the power of God. And you know what? The Lord knew that not only was Paul at danger of the spirit of pride because he did have so much revelation and he did walk so closely with him, but also that he was going to need to know how to depend wholly upon his power. There are people listening to me right now. The Lord wants you to learn how to depend wholly upon his power, and this is a word for you. I know there's at least one woman, I think there's two, that are listening to me right now that God is trying to show you how to depend wholly upon him. In our natural human flesh, and I did this too, when God took me into the wilderness again and again and I had to learn to depend on him, I fought it. I fought it because I had never had to depend on anyone. I had always taken care of everybody around me. That's just something I had in me. And I had always been financially independent. I didn't make, you know, that much money most of the time, but I could pay my bills, even if I had to work two or three jobs, whatever I had to do. And so that independence was very strong in me. But God wanted to take that out because he knew if I could take care of myself, he wouldn't get the glory. He knew I would never depend on him. And I am speaking to a woman right now, a beautiful young black woman within the sound of my voice. And sister, you know this word is for you. You are extremely intelligent. You're very beautiful. And you are very worldly, the Lord says. You want to be known. You want to be in a prestigious job. And you have the training for a prestigious job. And you don't understand why the doors are closing. That's why. God wants you to depend on him. He said that you are a princess in his eyes. You are a daughter of the king. And this is making you cry because you feel his love for you. Just lean on him. Just rest in him and he'll take care of the details. God doesn't call the qualified. Honey, he qualifies the called. But he will take you so much higher than that wonderful education and all that beauty can ever take you. Can I just tell you that? As I mentioned earlier in verse 8, Paul didn't want the message. He didn't want the thorn, or in his case, the whole thorn bush. I was the same way, y'all. I didn't want it either. I didn't want those thorns. I wanted the roses, not the thorns. Come on. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Reading that passage, I'm reminded of another. Matthew 26:29. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. This was Jesus going to God like Paul, but not asking him to remove a thorn from his side, but all the thorns of the whole world in the crown that he would wear. Even going back to him a second time and asking again. You know, and let me just say a side note here. Some people say you're only supposed to pray for something once. Jesus prayed more than once. Matthew 26:42, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will, and may your will be done. In that, Jesus is telling God, your grace is sufficient for me, and your strength will be made perfect in weakness. And it was. It is. When we do not as we will, but as he wills, and depend wholly upon the power of God, his strength is indeed made perfect in weakness. There are days sitting on the couch or in the home office doing work when I have a yard full of loud children. They run up and yell through my window, they knock on my front door, ring my doorbell, and I have to depend wholly upon God to get anything at all done. And they become a true thorn in my side. And that is not to compare the children in my neighborhood to little messengers of Satan. Well, maybe one or two of them. No, I'm kidding. But I am serious when I say they have been a thorn in my side. But as painful as it may be, it's not at all about the thorn in my side, and it's everything about the thorns in his crown. It's love and sacrifice. It's doing as he wills and not as I will. Let's talk a minute about the crown of thorns. Genesis 3:17-19. And to Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Thorns, therefore, are a sign of sin, sorrow, and toil, hard labor. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that I think are fabulous that I got from a sermon by a man named Keith Linkus of Keith Linkus Ministries. Very interesting, we have the same last name. A crown represents authority, dominion, and power over something. So Jesus gave us, through that crown of thorns, dominion over sin, sorrow, and sweat. And another place in the Bible that talks about thorns is in Mark chapter 4, the sower that sows the word, where it talks about the word falling among thorns. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So here, thorns are the lust, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares or worries of this world. So, how many thorns do you think we each have in our lives? I think probably quite a few for most of us. Whatever is trying to grow up and overtake God's place in your life, whether it's lust, seeking after riches, or the cares and worries of the world, he's already king over it. Isn't that good news? Okay, let's move on. So I used to think the reason God put me in this particular neighborhood, y'all know I have a rule, I don't move till God moves me. And before I lived here, I lived for 4 years in a small, very old, what later turned out to be an uninsulated rent house. Oh my gosh, it was cold in that house, and it did not have central heat or air. So I was happy to go anywhere from there. But I used to think that the reason God put me in this neighborhood and surrounded our house with children who were like little roving thorn bushes was because of his very profound sense of humor. But I've come to understand the thorn in my side is not about me at all. And just one of the reasons that God put me in this neighborhood is a little girl down the street. Her name is Kelsey, and she is about 7 or 8 years old, and she has a disease that is making her kidneys fail. The thorn in my side is certainly no comparison to the thorn in her side. Coincidentally, and we know there's no such thing as coincidence, she is one of the children in this neighborhood that is more rose than thorn. There's her, and there's one other little girl that is just adorable. More than thrice, I asked the Lord to keep the children at bay so I could think and study and pray and worship in peace, to depart this thorn from my side. His answer? He brought me to this neighborhood, and he brought that little girl to my door. And most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities and my thorn, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me and reside in her. The first sermon that I ever preached, well, not the first, the second, the first one I ever preached at my mother's nursing home was called Thorn People. And that was what I originally intended to preach today, but God changed this for the show because there are a number of you who need this message so desperately. God is preparing us all. He's preparing us for this end time. He's preparing us for all the chaos and lawlessness that is coming. He's preparing us so that we can be more like Him, so that His power can work through us and witness of Him to our unsaved loved ones around us and to the people we don't know who are unsaved around us. And if I'm constantly reacting to children as if they're thorn bushes, that's going to be pretty hard for him to do in my neighborhood, isn't it? Just saying. One of the reasons that God puts thorns into our side is because we have to learn to ignore the prodding that they do to us. Early in my walk of many wildernesses, the Lord put me in a couple of job situations that were absolutely torturous. I mean, every minute of every day of a couple of these jobs, it was all I could do not to run screaming out the door with my purse. But there were very, very few jobs out there. And so if you got a job, you clung to it with everything in you, no matter what. It was after the tech bust in the Dallas area. And the Lord taught me during that time that He puts us around people that irritate and agitate us because they're like sandpaper. They refine us. As they grind against us and drive us crazy, if we truly love the Lord and we truly want to be obedient to Him, we will let Him smooth away the edges of the rough side of us that way. And it is tough, y'all. Let me tell you, it is so tough. I apparently had a problem with pride back then because God told me I did. And so He was making me learn how to humble myself to be obedient to Him. At the same time, I would have to work with these people that just drove me up the wall. You know, I really, when I worked, I just wanted to do my job and go home. I wanted to do a really good job for whoever I was working for and go home. I don't want to be bothered with all that other stuff. But when you work, you have to interact with people, right? And they're not always nice people. They're not always truthful people. And they're not always pleasant people. So over the course of these two jobs, he definitely took some of the hard edges off me. I'm sure they're not all gone. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure they're not all done, all gone. But we need to be able to humble ourselves, and we need to be able to not react to evil in the time that is coming. The Lord is telling me this right now as I'm speaking to you. He's teaching us not to react to evil. Evil cannot dictate our reaction, okay? The evil around us, the evil in the people around us, whether we know them or we don't know them, cannot dictate our reaction. We have to let Him refine these parts of us so that we can walk further into the end times towards the time when He will catch us away and take us to heaven with Him, and this will all be over. And so He can be glorified, because the more you let Him refine you, the more He can use you and the more of His power can flow through you. Okay, now, So, you know, he puts us around people and in places we don't necessarily want to be to keep us on track, to do the work, and so he'll get all the glory. There's a woman listening to me right now, and you are close to the age of 40. You're thin, you're kind of tall. I say kind of tall, I'm 5'4", so everybody's tall to me. The Lord said that you have cancer. But he's saying that he wants to heal that cancer. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that cancer to die and come out of your body now in Jesus' name. Now, I command the spirit of cancer to leave you right now and go into the abyss in the name of Jesus. You are healed. God said you are healed. Right now, you're healed. Praise God. All glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I would like to ask all of you to please join me in praying for a miraculous healing for Kelsey. I'm asking God to drive that disease from her body and to give her two brand new kidneys, because apparently one of her kidneys has already stopped working and the other one is very close to stopping. And she is the most gentle, precious little child. Everybody just loves her because it's like there's just no meanness in her. She's just very precious. And her earlier childhood was very, very difficult. I won't go into detail, but I asked her guardian, she lives with her grandmother, I asked her grandmother if I could request prayer for her on this show, and she said she would be happy for us to pray for Kelsey. Lord, we just come before you right now. And Lord, I'm asking you for a miracle healing for Kelsey, and I will be glad to lay hands on her, Lord, the next time that she shows up, that I see her. I will be glad to pray for her, Lord God. But I ask you, Father, when I lay hands and pray for Kelsey, I ask, Father, that you would take all the faith from all of the prayers of all the listeners that pray for Kelsey after hearing this program. And I pray, Lord, that you would banish that kidney disease from her forever and that you would put in her two brand new kidneys with absolutely no sign whatsoever that that disease has ever touched that child. And I pray, Father, that you would use this as a witness to everyone in this neighborhood, and that you would save all her unsaved loved ones through it in the mighty name of Jesus. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for it, Lord. And I praise you for her healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, the Lord is reminding me right now that when those soldiers put that crown of thorns on Jesus and they put that reed in his hand, a reed is something that bends in the place where a scepter belonged and is now. A scepter is strong and unbendable and a sign of authority. And they put a robe on him, but the word for robe there is not a real robe. It's a robe that goes, it's a short one that only goes part the way down. So before they did all this, before they scourged you back then, they stripped you naked. So here's Jesus. He's beaten, lashes, big chunks of flesh taken out of his back because they beat him naked, front and back both, I'm sure. And he's wearing this mock robe, holding a reed in his hand. He has a crown of thorns that were up to 3 inches long, pressed into his forehead. So he's got blood running down his face. They pulled his beard out. And the soldiers are making fun of him. Well, why do you think that that was? I think it was for a number of things. One, because he is king over anything that humiliates you right now. There's a man listening to me right now. And there is a circumstance in your life that is humiliating to you. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed to God about it. And it's still the same. And the Lord says to you, sir, if you will submit to that circumstance in Christ-like response, is exactly what he's saying. If you will submit to that circumstance, to your circumstances in Christ-like response, he said he will heal your marriage. So it must be something in or around your marriage. He will heal your marriage. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is king over all that humiliates us. All that humiliates us. All that can come against us. He's already taken dominion over. He's already conquered it. He already rules over it. And we, through his authority, rule over it too. So as they were making fun of Jesus, and they were mocking him and spitting on him, what did Jesus do? He did nothing. He could have called a legion of angels to terrorize all of those soldiers and scare them into heart attacks, but he did nothing. He accepted it and he submitted to it because what? He knew it was the will of the Father. And he knew the Father would be glorified through it. He submitted. If you have a thorn in your life today, or if you're surrounded by thorn bushes, if you're having to live in the house with somebody you don't want to live in the house with, and so many of us have been there. Think about how God wants you to respond. God cannot move in your situation. He's telling me this right now. He cannot move in your situation unless you are giving a Christ-like response. Whatever your situation is, unless you are acting like Jesus where you are without fault in the situation, he cannot move on your behalf. So you're tying his hands. If you're acting like the devil in your situation, you're tying his hands. He can't help you. That's a word from the Lord. If you're living among the thorns, we need to weed our garden out, don't we? We need to get those thorns out of our garden so that the word, Jesus, can rise up and we can be fruitful again. Thank you so much for listening. We love y'all. We love being able to minister to you every week. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Wings Radio, brought to you by JPH, a donation-supported ministry commissioned to prepare God's people for events beginning to come upon the earth, helping them to prepare for the soon return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We would love to hear from you if you've been blessed by this program. You can contact Linda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. JPH is not affiliated with any denomination or nonprofit organization. Need that gift for one who has everything or just need a unique gift idea? Put non-toxic, non-chemically scented beeswax candles on the list. Safe for allergen-sensitive folks and healthy for everyone. Many choices at holyarchangelcandles.com. Order by December 7th for Christmas delivery. Mention the word wings with your order and we'll add our poinsettia candle. All one word, holyarchangelcandles.com. Even the unsaved have a foreboding about the world's future. For those in your life, a Christmas gift of a book that traces very recent past events to the future while simultaneously reaching out with a gospel message tucked inside the compelling pages satisfies that yearning to know. Moreover, you never have to say those awkward words causing a defensive response. The book is America, Isaiah's Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Wherever books are sold, and signed copies from americasjudgment.com, America, Isaiah's Warning, and americasjudgment.com.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Have occasional strong urges to do the wrong thing? Things that mess up an otherwise Christian lifestyle? Is the sin nature rearing up, or could it be something else? Spiritual soul tunnels are well-disguised avenues to reach a person who has turned from a formerly unhealthy relationship. If this sounds like it could describe you, you need Glenda Linko's new ebook, Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind, for $3.99 at Amazon and wingsofprophecy.com. That's Severing Soul Ties and Leaving the Past Behind. Are you one of many single Christians believing for a godly mate? God is able, so why hasn't He sent them to you? Unknowingly, you may be working against God. He brought Glenda the perfect mate after 16 long, lonely years of believing. In the ebook, Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate, Glenda shares the keys God gave her. Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate by Jerry and Glenda Linkos, only $2.99 at Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com. Haven't you waited long enough? Get Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate. Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com.